sin, you go to purgatory only for forgiven sin. If your sin has been forgiven, only then do you go to purgatory to pay the penalty. But, that's the doctrine. But, when it was offered to the people, it came out as a general remission of sins. Really, because what is offered here is the cross. Do you understand that?
But what in the long run in their eyes, what would the difference be? Either whether they were having the penalty removed or the sin removed, but either or meant less time in purgatory.
Yeah, but really what they technically offered the indulgence to give them less time in purgatory. Actually, it was offered to the people, the way it was worded, to keep them out of hell, because the offer of the common people didn't make these fine distinctions and get more money.
They were decided who was going to be a saint and who wasn't? Just, you know,
well, that's kind of decided later, you see. So if you could, they didn't keep strict records on the saint. They didn't have that.
They didn't draw straws or anything.
And also the merits of Jesus and Mary.
Basic ideas.
the church because of their sins, fine. But the church, the Pope, does not control the afterlife. That is, what is he saying about that? That is, the Pope cannot exact spiritual penalties beyond the grave. What does that say about indulgences? They are useless. You paid your money for nothing. Secondly, repentance and faith are sufficient for the remission of sins. You want to see receive. Remember, this is why I emphasize the fact that you're offered not simply as a remission of penalty, but a remission of guilt. And so Luther says, you want to be forgiven, all you have to have is repentance and faith. Salvation by faith, not by indulgences.
Did the Catholic Church at the time teach the people that they need repentance and faith?
Technically, yes. Remember what he said? That's a good question. Technically, yes, but look back here. He says, look at the right under the picture on page 14 of the vendor. It says, consider that all who are contrite and have confessed and made contribution. What they said, technically what they said was, to be saved, originally they said, you had to be contrite before you could receive absolution. And then they would tell you what your penalty was. Now later on, circumstances, contrition would not even necessary. It had to be right. The general teaching of the church has been and is today that if you go to confession and you confess your sins, that you have to really be repentant. Technically, that's what they teach. Now they don't enforce that. were being looted. Their money was being robbed. For what? So Alfred Brandenburg could buy these offices, which was corruption in itself. You don't see, so it was a double-pronged objection. What was the effect of the 95 theses? Well, they were widely read, and guess what? The sale of indulgences dropped off drastically. If this had not happened, little or nothing probably would have come to the whole business. Luther never expected much to come to the whole business, but when, keep in mind that the Pope, money was being shut off in Spain, France, and England. This was the primary source of money now. And all of a sudden in Germany, the sale of indulgences began to drop off. That's when they got concerned. That is, listen, had anybody preached salvation by faith alone before?
Sure.
And that was the back country, up in the hills, boondocks. And this monk comes out and starts making a noise. Oh, we've always had that. He'll get tired and go away. And then the church probably would take another step. Have you ever noticed that you start talking about it, you get people's attention? And they got the church. What was the effect on the leaders of the people? Well, the Roman Catholic Church had to address it because of the loss of income. The Roman Catholic Church found a champion in Professor Eck out of Ingolstadt. He was a former friend and fellow student of Luther. And he, the 95 theses, these were proposals, these were items for a debate, for public discussion. That's what it was. I propose, if anybody's interested, we publicly discuss these. Well, so they found somebody to take him up on that challenge. And this was Eck. Now, Eck, as you might expect, defended in this discussion the practice solely on the ground of authority. And Luther was forced, Luther was forced to think this thing through more than he had really intended. He was forced to rethink this section of the, and Eck didn't bother to defend the sale of indulgences on the basis of the Bible, certainly, or on the basis of reason, or on the basis of morality, or theology. You know what he said? The church says they're valid, therefore they're valid. The authority of the church. And this led Luther to realize that there were no more claims to support the authority, the historical authority of the church than there were to support indulgences. Kind of like, if you see a parallel, Luther, in these debates, we're going to say Luther was forced to face all kinds of issues he had never thought of before, just like Alexander Campbell was in his debates. We're going to see that restoration history next quarter. Why did Alexander, what brought him around to the doctrine of baptism for the remission of sins? It was the debates. He didn't really face it before. It's one thing to state a principle. Listen to me, very important thing to know. It's one thing to state a principle. It's something else to know where that principle will lead you. What reformers, restorers like Campbell and Luther often do, regularly do, always do, I guess, is they decide on the holy, sacred, correct, reforming principle, announce it, and then get royally battered until they find out what it means. Kind of like getting married. Mm-hmm. I was having a wedding one time, this young couple, and somebody, some older head of the church said to me, "Brother Chambers, do they really understand what they're getting into?" And I said, "I sure hope not. Otherwise, they didn't know who to get married." I mean, you say sickness and health, poverty and wealth, will death do us part. And you say that, and you announce, and then you find the rest of your life finding out what that means. You see, when this young man looks at that shiny image next to him in that white dress and says, "Sickness and health," he's never helped her puke. Never seen her. She's had the flu for 9 days. And they've never made mortgage payments. They've never had the kid up at 3 o'clock in the morning with 102 temperature. Wondering what you're going to do. They've never had it. You understand? They've never lived. Had to live with the same person, the same house for 25 years. see the end from the beginning.
Right.
Okay. What was the effect on the Pope? Leo the 10th, who was the Pope, directed Stauffen, who was Stauffen, that was Luther's, the head of Luther's order, to keep his drunken monk quiet. All these monks get drunk, start saying these things, because Luther was not a drunken monk, particularly. We talked about that. Then he summoned Luther to Rome to answer charges. I love this. Luther, when Stauffen wouldn't keep him quiet, he said, "Come to Rome and we'll talk about it." Fred, and Luther wouldn't come. Why? Well, that didn't help. Didn't he want to go to Rome again? Who do you suppose Luther remembered? John Huss. What happened to us? Council of Constance, let's talk this over. So the Huss came, what happened to us? They brought him alive. They gave him a guarantee of safety. And they said the promises made to heretics don't count. Luther knew good and well. He got to Rome, he'd never see Saxony again. Luther wasn't stupid. So Luther just didn't said, "No, thank you, I think I'll won't." And Frederick the Wise wouldn't make him go. Frederick did compromise. You're just teaching like us.
Luther said, absolutely am not.
You see, the Germans hated at this time.
They had two reasons for objecting to this. Number one, the Germans sacked and hated the Bohemians because the Bohemians had threatened them and invaded them. There's a great deal of animosity between the people of Saxony and the Bohemians.
Okay.
Secondly, as a Roman Catholic priest, as a Roman Catholic scholar, one of the accepted discussed purgatory because the debate was about indulgences. Luther denied the canonicity of 2 Maccabees 12:45, which is the very flimsy verse upon which the Roman Catholic Church bases purgatory. It's in the Apocrypha, you know. And he denied the authority of a document which had been used to support papal claims. And he pointed out that the Apocrypha at this time was not in the Bible anyway. It had never been canonized. Later on it was. Council Trent. If you make the Bible the final authority, not only are you a Hussite, everybody's going to read the Bible, you're going to create division and heresy. It's going to be a big mess, which by the way it was.
As a man of the cloth, if you will, wouldn't that bother Luther? You think that just regular people would be reading the Bible? Wouldn't that be a bother?
Yes. Keep in mind, I'm going to talk about this thing.
Christopher,
he says, now, see, the Roman Catholic Church is and was always great on tradition, the law and teaching of the church. Are you saying, Martin Luther, this is not what his word, this is a clean page of his word, you, this Saxon monk, are you saying that you're right and that all the church is wrong, Thomas Aquinas was wrong, John Duns Scotus was wrong, and you know, all these great fathers of the church were wrong? Are you alone right?
still today in more than America. A European would be very slow to affirm that he was right and everybody else was wrong. Why? Well, because it's the way they operate. You ask an American that, do you write that up? You sure, why not? The idea of the intellectual aristocracy of the common man. In America, because of our cultural tradition, you know, the Americans, we're trained to believe, my thinking is just as good as anybody else's. And we don't have royalty. Why is it that President, how do you introduce the President of the United States? How do you, what is the only way to be introduced? Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States, that's it. By law, I don't know anything to be introduced. You're very introduced. It's not a very long introduction, is it? You know why? Because in England, those who set this up in England, they had royalty. It took 5 minutes to introduce the king. Give all of his titles. You see, oh, yeah, it's only 5 minutes. The monarch was the longest royalty. They were, our founding fathers, they didn't want a king, they wanted a president. No titles at all, just the president. That's the president, that's it. Now, and they had this idea that all men are created equal. So we're raised in a cultural tradition that we are trained to say, well, if my thinking is clear, my reasons are good, I can be right, nobody else can be wrong. Why? I'm as good as anybody else. See, European people didn't think that way, especially in the Middle Ages. But you keep your place, you recognize your class in Europe, and you respect your betters.
Savannah rolling it, and they went.
print or publish Luther's work. They were being printed.